This morning, I had previously thought of something to speak about as we're coming up to Easter. But over and over and over, the Lord has been bringing a scripture to me. In fact, we used to sing it. But it's in Psalm 144. It's a Psalm of David. And I'll just read, Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him? Man is like breath, his days are like fleeting shadows. And then down to the last verse, it says, blessed are the peoples of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is their Lord. And, you know, if we could even just grasp, before I go on, that last scripture, blessed are the people whose God is their Lord, it would change and impact our lives dramatically. The statement, I believe, would spark us to a new vigour, to a new desire. If we could grasp that, it would change our home lives. It would change our personal lives. And this psalm personifies what it means to have God as our Lord. And, you know, when we think about this psalm, David wrote this psalm as he wrote many. And David really knew about what it meant to really centre himself in God. And it was really good as Gadgen brought communion this morning, because he spoke about when Samuel was called to anoint a new king, and about how God sees the heart. And you see, David was the youngest of his brothers. He was the smallest, and he was not as attractive and as fine-looking as his brothers. And like was said, often we look on the outside when we go to call someone to do something, but God sees the heart. And you see, the heart of David was this, that he saw his Lord was his rock, his strength, his fortress. And where did David learn that? He learned that out in the fields, tending the sheep. He learned that by spending time with God. He learned that by proving God over and over that he would be his strength, his refuge and his rock. When David was out looking after the sheep, just think, he was all alone, miles from anyone, out there under the stars at night. And he would take his harp and he would play and he would sing. And he would sing the scriptures to God. He would sing from his heart. And you see, God came down and blessed him. He blessed him with strategies. He blessed him with strength. He blessed him with power. But he blessed him with humility. But he also blessed him that his eyes were open to see who his God was and what his God could do. Do you know that this morning? You know, we say, I know God, I know the scriptures, I've heard that before. But do you know it? Do you know it in here? You see, David was out there without anyone to preach a sermon to him. He was out there without the scrolls, but he was out there in the very presence of God, his rock. And you see, David blesses him. He exalts him. He glorifies him. He praises him when he says, praise be to the Lord, my rock. He's exalting him. And he's saying, God, you are my strength. You are my stronghold. You are my fortress. And in other scriptures, David says, the rock, he came to the cleft of the rock where he hid from a dry, thirsty land. He found God's covering in that rock. But it wasn't the rock as a rock. He's speaking about the Father God, the Father who placed his hand upon him and who provided all of his needs. This rock is available to us today. And you see, in the time when David lived, the rocks were very, very important. There was a lot of rocks around. And you see, if you were in a storm, if you went to a rocky place or into a cave or into the shelter of the rocks, you were covered from the storm. And so David's drawing us a picture here that no matter what happens, no matter where we are, if we draw to the rock, we will be sheltered, we'll be covered, we will be protected. And we need to know that. It reminds us who God is and what God is about. And then it says, He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer. You know, we all live in a battle. We have our theme, which is called to war. And, you know, when some people saw it, they were sort of maybe taken aback. But you see, as our pastor has been bringing to us each week about this war that we're in, and we are in a war. We are in a battle. Every day, every day. We cry out to God, God, give me joy, give me peace. But you see, the battle we are in is God wants us to see that He's our joy and our peace, not this world. The battle is that we, as flesh, seek the world to bring us pleasure, to bring us confidence, to bring us joy. When our joy and our strength and our delight is to be in the Lord. And so the Lord, by His Spirit, every day is bringing us that we will see Him as our rock, we will see Him as our stronghold, we'll see Him as our fortress, we'll see Him as our deliverer. And yet so often we want to look at other things. There's a story of Lu Ching Kung, who came second in 1958 in an orchestral challenge. He was a pianist. And it was a Tchaikovsky competition. A year later, he only came second. A year later, he was imprisoned in China. And he was there for 10 years. When he came out, he was keen to get back onto tour and to play the piano. Critics were amazed at his playing, stating that it was better than ever. And they came to him and they said, how could you possibly do this? You've been in prison. What chance did you get? Did they give you a piano? Did they give you music for these years that you've been in prison? He said, I did practice. Every day I rehearsed a piece that I'd ever played. Note by note, I went over in my mind and thought about it and saw about it. And you see, for him, that time in prison would not have been drawn out. Of course he faced difficulties, but he didn't centre on those things. And the way he was able to be helped was that he centred on what he knew. He centred on what was important to him. He centred on what had been placed within him, the gift that he had been given. The only area in our life where we have total control is in our mind. And God has given us a choice in our mind. Our mind is a battlefield. And you see, we have a choice. We say, oh, I couldn't help this, I couldn't help that. This came and it was... It's a choice we make. It's a choice we make in every situation. It's a choice we make every day to read this word. It's a choice that we make, but it's in our mind. Our mind will say, go and do this first. It's a choice that we make to come into this rock and find our refuge. It's a choice that we make. And you see, often we complain that God doesn't help us. And as we heard this morning, that God doesn't immediately answer our prayers. But you see, often there are situations that God wants to teach us. We will just seek, God, give me, give me. Do this for me, do that for me. But God says, come before me and let me reason with you. Let me talk this with you. Let me show you what it is that I want to teach you through this. God is not a God who just wants to give us goodies. God is a God who wants to grow us into the fullness that He has for us. And many times we fall short of that because we don't give that time. We don't make that choice. And so we see Psalm 119:11, it says, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we don't want to sin, we need to know the word of God, and we need to be speaking the word of God to this flesh. God has already prepared for us what He wants us to do. He says, "Praise be to the Lord my rock." David saw God as his rock. Do you see God as your rock? Where do you go when you face trials and difficulties? Do you try and fix it yourself? Do you call in somebody else to stand alongside you? Or do you seek the Lord? If you've ever been in Israel, you would see that there's rocks everywhere. It seems that a bag was torn open and rocks spilled out everywhere. Israel sits on the very rift where all of the earthquakes generated through the entire world. It's the lowest part of the earth where the Dead Sea, with the Dead Sea 1,400 feet below sea level. Gigantic rocks, and when they talk about God, they remember these rocks and how great they are. Like David, we need to see the rock, that we can build on the rock. Build on the rock and not upon the sand was the old Sunday school song. The rock, our God, is preparing us for all he has. This rock is a protector. He protects us, but he also participates with us. David cries out to him and he realises his weakness. And we all have weaknesses, but we need to go to God with those weaknesses and know his overcoming power. This word has the answer to every weakness that you have, every struggle. And remember, it is God who created us, and he created us each differently. And to some he made stronger in some areas than others. Others he made less strong, because he wants us to focus on him. God has not made us perfect. Yes, we're created perfectly in his image, but spiritually we have to grow into that. And God is calling us to make a choice. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can cry out and that he will lead us all into all wisdom and truth. He will show us how to put away the flesh and how to bring forth the Spirit. He will show us how to have victory over immorality and impurity and all of the things that would rage against us. And you know, the minute that we stand up for God, the minute we start to step out and speak the word of God, the enemy will come in. Now, we know the enemy has no right to touch us, but the enemy is about disappointments and he works in our emotion. And you see, we are people with strong emotions. And I have seen, and I've said before, I've seen many people that I've admired that have stood in God, that have been strong Christians, and they've been drawn off by an emotional sympathy. Christianity is not about emotionalism, it's about spiritualism. And you will have people say to you when you stand on this word, "That's not fair, God is love." Well, yes, God is love, but that love is an unconditional love, but it also is a love that requires. This love is given freely, but this love requires that we respond to it, not in emotionalism, but in our spirit, that we respond and say, "Yes, God, you're my rock, and I believe you and I trust you. What you say, I believe, no matter what the world says." And sometimes the world will say, "You are harsh. You are harsh." Have you ever tried saying no to a difficult child when you know it's not good for them? If you're let off in emotional, if you're emotional, you'll give your child everything, and what will you do? You'll ruin the child. But if you say no, even when they're kicking and screaming, particularly teenagers, find no often very hard to accept, unless they have been taught and trained. You see, David also speaks about training. Training is more than teaching. Training is very important. If you don't believe me, most people spend most of their time following football or rugby or any of the sports. To be a good sportsman, you must train. And every week you'd think, "Oh, gee, they've done all their paces this week. They've won that game. They should be right. They can sit back and relax." No, they have to keep training. They have to keep learning strategies, and they train, or whether it's a runner or a swimmer, they have to train to keep their body supple, to keep these legs so that they don't do hammies and all the rest of it that they do. And we know too that the greatest battle that goes on is in the mind, that our the mind and the will and the desire will overcome the physical. You often see, if you watch a swimmer or even, again, football, after the game, you see the guys there, they can barely walk. But while they're playing, the blood's flying through their system. They've got one thought in mind, to get that ball and do the right thing with it. And that has come because of solid training. And you see, how can we think less that if we don't allow the Lord by His Spirit to train us, if we don't submit to that training, we'll flag out. Our body will start to feel tired. It's even as we worship here, as we sing and as we praise, you know, to lift our hands, it's not always easy to lift them. They can ache, but you see, if you centre on and think about the hands, they will ache. But if you're focusing on God and the glory of Him and feeling His presence and knowing He's blessing you, then you'll hold your hands up and you'll praise Him. It's what our focus is. It's where our heart is. In Judges 7, 2-3, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. So announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave the Mount of Gilead." So God's method of warfare is designed to cause His people to trust Him. He wasn't about giving Gideon a mighty army so that others will say, "Well, you overtook us." He was about showing His power in them, that even though they were small in number, that with God, their rock, they would overcome. And so you see, strength is not in numbers in this sense, in a spiritual strength. Strength is in the power of the Spirit within us. It's not by power or might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. And so when we're in difficult situations, calling lots of people around us, yes, asking people that we can trust and we know to pray with us, not to make it easy, but to bring deliverance, is good. But it comes down to me and my rock, me and my God, me and my Father, me and my Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. God's method of warfare is designed to cause us to utilise everything He's given us. Now, getting back to David, and David draws a beautiful picture. Here David is, as I said, the youngest, but God had taught him much. While his brothers were walking around in finery and feeling that they should be chosen to do these things, and who were out with this army, David was there before God. And God had an appointment for David. And so we know David took the lunch up to the soldiers and he was taken. And I can imagine David standing on his toes looking to try and see what was going on. And everybody was terrified of this giant. And we often become terrified of the giants we face. But you see, if we see the giant and not God, we will be terrified. But you see, David didn't see the giant as fearful. He just saw this big giant, but God was greater than the giant, as was prayed, as someone prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, not to see how big our problems are, but to see how big God is. And so David went boldly to the king and said, "I can do it." And what did David use? What were the weapons of his warfare? Things that he was familiar with. Now you see, if someone just looks at a stone, you think, "What can I possibly do with this?" But it wasn't just the stone. David heard from God. David had learned out there in the fields about strategy. David learned how to position himself. And you see, that's what God wants us to learn. Do you know how to position yourself? Do you know what it means to position yourself? Position yourself means to stand in the place where God has placed you and not move. Position yourself in prayer means to come onto your knees before God, to go into your closet, into the quiet place and pray. To position yourself means to go into those places or to stand in that position knowing that you're standing in God and that you already have the victory. That's what it means to position yourself. Just to stand and see the power and the glory of your God, who will not fail you ever. And so David positioned himself and he had a strategy and he moved and he was not fearful. Because if we become fearful, we'll stumble and fall. And so David won the victory, but he didn't claim the victory. He gave all the glory to his father because God had trained him. He trained his fingers. He trained his fingers to play a musical instrument, but then he trained his fingers for war. He trained him. And you see, the greatest way that we can stand in that war is to clasp our hands and to pray. And when we do that, it's a mighty powerful thing, as we learned in our grow groups about the power of prayer. Far too often we are asking God for something we don't have. We're all about want, aren't we? We want, we want. Do you ever look, or do you ever sit sometimes and just thank God for what you have? Thank God for what you have. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trial, in the midst of financial struggle, praise God for what you have. I thank God for my life. I thank God for what I have. And yet there are things that come. But God calls us, blessed be the Lord my rock. Glory to you, mighty God, right here where I am, in this flesh, in this body, in this life, in this world, to praise him. Because God has placed us where we are. Unless you are living a life outside of him. But so often we're looking for something that we don't have. And you know what? We miss what we do have. David was aware of what he had. He had a strong body. He had two hands. And he had feet that were agile. But more than that, he had this rock. This rock, he had this God that he trusted, this power, this strength. And he had little flat stones. And he knew that God would show him what to do with them and when to do it. And that's what God is calling us to do. In Philippians in 3, it says, we've got to press on towards more while at the same time use what we already have. In essence, that's what it says. We need to press on, but we need to be using what we already have and thanking God for what we already have, not always looking for give me, give me, give me more. Moses was busy arguing with God about what he needed to do the task that God had given him, and God said, look at what I've placed in your hand. Do you know today what God has given you? Do you know what God has placed in your hand? Do you know many Christians don't? I hear so many Christians say to me, I'm still waiting to know what my purpose is. I'm still waiting to know what God wants me to do in this situation. Well, if you're still waiting, you're not going to know. It's in God, and only God can tell you. But you see, if you've been a Christian for a few years, you should know. We should know what it is. And so Moses was expecting God to show up and do something different. Well, God doesn't do anything different to his word, but we need to know what it is his word says and what his word is saying to me, because what he's saying to me is different to what he's saying to you. And that's where we get caught up. We often want what she's got or what he's got. We start looking at these things and we think, oh, but you see, if we had them, we might not be able to cope with them. Or we may not be ready to yield to have those things. It's very nice to be able to just sit and relax. And God gives us that time to do that, and it's wonderful. But then God calls us to come aside with him. And we don't want to leave our family, or we don't want to leave the television, or we don't want to leave our meal or whatever else it is. But you see, the Spirit of God is drawing us to have a greater desire for him than for those things. Yes, all those things, God's given us all things to enjoy. But in their time, there must be a time for him. God is a jealous God. He loves us fiercely. I love my husband, and I don't like missing out on time with him. If he ignores me, and he doesn't, but if he ignores me and goes to someone else, I don't like it. I don't like it. And that's my right not to like it. Because he's mine. He's my husband. Amen. Okay. Or our children. Our children the same. As our children grow, I praise God for our children. And they have many friends and sisters and brothers. And I don't want what they share with them, but I want what's mine. They're my sons and daughters. Yes, my husband's too, but I'm speaking for myself. And so what I share with them is mine. You can't have that. And I have every right to claim that. How much more does my God deserve to have the right to claim what is his, which is me, the heart of me, the part of me that belongs to him? He's given me other things to do, but he will not share what is his. Are you getting that today? Are you getting that today? You know, we think, I know it, but we don't. And we need to be reminded over and over, like training. We have to keep training. The Bible says with our children, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, you're not depart from it. It doesn't say teach them. It says train them. Training is a far more impacting thing. To teach someone or to show someone, but to train means to get in there, to show them, but to keep them at it till they get it. It takes time. You know, even with an idea, they say it takes so many days for you to really get an idea within you that you can really take hold of. You know, maybe in the midst of war, you feel you're missing out on this warm and fuzzy feeling. Well, guess what? There's no warm and fuzzy feeling in war, but there is a deep sense of the power of God and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's whom we want to call on. You know, sometimes I have visions of people running around like ants, scrambling all over the place, and this awesome God, our rock, just saying, look at me, look at me. Call me down into the situation. I will deliver you. I will be faithful. I will cover you. I'll protect you. But they're so busy running around, they forget that. That's why we must train. And the Bible says to train our hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer. And similar to that psalm, in Psalm 18, David also speaks and he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you. I love you. I love you. This love is not just a flesh feeling love. This is a committed love. This is a yielded love. The Lord, my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Is he your stronghold? Is he who you grab hold of and don't let go of? I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise and I am saved from my enemies. He calls and he knows that he's saved. We are saved because we are on the victor side. Then it goes to, I want to read verse 31. For who is God beside the Lord and who is is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arm can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn over. Now that's a very physical picture. But you see, sometimes we're called to walk on the rocky, hard places. And I don't know about you, but I have to, my ankles turn now. If I get onto a rough area, it's very easy. But you see, in the spiritual, God takes us to those places, but he broadens it so that we can walk straight. And it says he gives us feet like hind's feet so that we can scale over all of these things. We can go up into the high mountainous places without fear of tripping or falling spiritually because he keeps us and he holds us. The Lord is our rock. He's a high tower. He's a shield. Some of us are tormented with pains and aches and things. And you know, The Lord has taught me to say, blessed is the Lord my God, my comforter, who teaches my knees to bend and be under his control, and my feet to stand sure. Others who look out to help young converts might say, blessed is God, my rock, who teaches my eyes to see the wounded souls and my lips to cheer them. And so in whatever circumstance you're in your finances, blessed is God, my provider, who provides all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, even this bill that I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. But if I trust in God, he will show me the way. God isn't just about putting the money in your hand, but he will give you wisdom and show you how to be able to deal with that.
Amen.
David had his own particular help from God, and he wanted to share it with us. David wanted to sing praises to God and glorify him and exalt him. Rock also typifies something about the nature of God, that he's solid, he's unchanging in nature. And Moses had this in mind when he spoke of God's justice. But the rock also is a symbol continued in the New Testament with reference to Jesus Christ, because he is the foundation, the chief cornerstone. He's the rock of the offence of those who rejected him, but the spiritual rock for those who obey him and who call upon him. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You know, there is nothing more powerful than prayer.
Amen.
The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. But you see, it must be fervent. It must be yielded prayer. It must be prayer where we spend time with God. But you see, before we can pray effectively, we need to know the Word of God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to make alive to us the Word of God, so that when we pray, we can declare the Word of God prayerfully. You don't have to find words of your own. Just declare God's Word and it will be done. Declare God's Word in authority, in strength, knowing that he is the victor, knowing that he is on your side, knowing that you cannot fail, having that confidence within, not fearing, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and power and of a sound mind, a mind that is yielded to him, a mind that is that like unto Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ, that we think the thoughts of Christ, that the Holy Spirit will renew those things to us. You know, I just want to share quickly a little word of testimony, and I've spoken to some people about this. My husband and I have been ministering to a mother and two sons, a beautiful young mother, a Christian, who has raised her sons to love the Lord. And every so many weeks, probably every 3-4 weeks, they come over, the three of them, and it's just awesome. They just feel so at home, and one will go up into one bedroom, another, and read while we minister to, it's usually the boys first in their time. We spend an hour or so with each boy and then with the mother. And a few weeks, the last time they came over, we had done this, and we'd been speaking a lot about the power of prayer and overcoming. And one of these boys is like a vacuum cleaner. They're both hungry, but this kid, it's like, and you're sort of like, you've really got to pray before they come, because you've really got to know you're giving them the Word of God and not your own thoughts. And of course, we don't know everything, so we say to them, look, we need to pray about that and look it up, and we certainly go to the Word of God. Anyway, this particular Saturday, one brother was taking a bit of time, and so the mother had said she was ready to go. She was gathering her stuff, but the youngest guy went out and got in the car, and this other brother, the oldest brother, had just not long bought this new car, and he was feeling pretty chuffed with himself. And so the boy went out and sat in the car, took the keys and went and sat in the car. And we were quite a few minutes later. Anyway, he saw us coming, so he jumped out of the car and he ran across over onto the lawn, and we're standing there talking. And then we went to go back to the car, and he went, and the older boy said, what's wrong? He said, I've left the keys in the car. Now, it's a new, one of these modern cars, and he was in the front, and when he got out, after a few minutes, what does the car do? It locks itself. And so here he is, out here, looking at his brother. His brother went white. What are we going to do? And panic, because they had a very important, and one of the reasons they'd come was to share with us, they had an important engagement after they left us. So they went out feeling all fired up and happy about the meeting, and here they are. And so the mother said, oh, we'll have to ring the RSCV. And the younger brother was just full of apologies. He was nearly in tears. He was so sorry. Now, we looked at this car, and you know with modern cars, there's no way you can open them. You can't slide anything in them. And we're standing there, and the Lord said to me, pray. And I said, look, let's pray about it. So they sort of looked very reluctantly. And so I prayed. And I went over and said, thank you, Lord, and opened the front door.
Amen.
John will tell you. No, that's not me. That's the power of God. And that was, I believe God did that to show these boys that prayer really works. But you see, our resources, we'll look for everything else. So John would tell you, everybody tried this door. It wouldn't open. They tried all the doors. They wouldn't open. Now, to God, that's a very little simple thing. To us, it's awesome. But we should be expecting those things to happen. If we go to God in prayer, we need to ask him. Now, all right, sometimes we might go to God in prayer and that doesn't happen. But God gives us then the quietness and the principles of what we have to do, because otherwise we get into this emotional state, as I said, and we rush around. Now, do you go to God believing he's going to answer your prayers? Because I do.
Yes.
And you see, if we go not doubting, remember he's training our hands for war, which means it's a prayerful illustration that we're being given here. And our fingers for battle, that we're to stand against the negatives of the mind, the fear of the mind, the common sense of the mind, and believe what the Word of God says, which isn't always common sense to the way that we see things. The things that God teaches us are things of faith and trust and belief. So we need to really know that God is with us, that he wants to teach us all of these new things. But you see, pride often gets in. David did not have pride at this stage. We know later on, or part of his life, David did fall into sin. But he was yielded to God, and he fell on God and didn't care what man did to him. It was what God would do to him. But you see, pride can often keep us from seeing the deliverance of God, because often God asks us, in fact always, before God answers, he asks us to yield. And we don't want to yield. We don't want to yield our common sense. We don't want to yield our knowledge that we had tried so hard to get all this knowledge. Well, it's not about knowledge. God asks us to yield. And David yielded. And you see, God says to us, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. And that's in 2 Chronicles 2, 20 and 17. God spoke that to Judah and Israel. You do not have to fight this battle. See, often we're so busy raging war and fighting and words of fighting and justification and whatever. But you see, when Jesus was led before his accusers, he was silent. The Lord your God is going before you and he will fight for you as he did in Egypt before your very eyes. The Lord will fight for you. And in Joshua, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. So there's plenty of scriptures that are pointing. Sometimes God wants us to do nothing but trust him. Yet we're all about doing something. And our something is never good enough. And in fact, our something pulls us away from where God wants us to be. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your battle, we can trust our Lord to fight for us. But we need to yield our heart and to stand in that victory You see, as we pray, we need to see what we already have. That's what faith is. We need to see and believe we already have what we're asking for, believing that God is our deliverer. Do not be afraid, but stand firm and see the deliverance of your God. Something strikes me about today's scripture. It's a wonderful promise, but it requires for us to do something, and that is nothing. It is to trust, completely trust. Romans 10 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why it's extremely important that we know the word of God, that the Spirit of God brings to us the word of God in our situation, that we might speak it back to God as Abraham did, that we might show God our complete trust on him. And the other thing is that we need to be people of praise in all things, to praise him and give him the glory because he has already won the victory. Amen. Do you know, there's not one thing that you have ever faced or that you're facing today or you will ever face that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that he has not given you the victory. And as we heard this morning, sometimes prayers, we cry out of our understanding and what we think we need. And God doesn't always do that. But God always has a better way. And like with Gideon, often we think this is the best, but God says, no, I want to strip it back. Because you see, God's not about giving us what we want. He's about growing us into who he wants us to be, into his likeness, into his power and his strength. So this morning, it's my prayer that you will see this great God, this God who loves you with an everlasting love, this Jesus Christ. And you see, people are fickle. We can be fickle, as we heard this morning about Palm Sunday. Here the people were praising, Hosanna, Hosanna, as Jesus came in. And days later, crucify him. Crucify him. Jesus said to Peter, will you deny me? And Peter said, I would never deny you. And before the cock crowed, Peter had denied him three times. In our own strength, in our own emotion, we will fail. And I'm not talking about being perfect here. We're growing. We're a work in progress. We're growing. But we need to be mindful and to realise who our enemy is and to understand what his strategies are so that we can allow the Spirit of God to teach us to be able to position ourselves against those strategies. And we know that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with powers and spirit in high places, spiritual powers in high places. And so as we learn to understand, the Word of God tells us that the enemy comes in against our emotion. He will try to build our pride. He'll try to tell us how good we are. He will say, did God really say that? He will make you question the word. He will cause you to be discouraged. That's one of the most powerful things today, when the word of God is about encouragement. So it's our choice. To whom do you listen? To what do you believe? What do you place your life on? Who do you give glory to? Praise the Lord, my rock. He is our fortress, our strength. Jesus Christ is the rock that gave himself. He is the cornerstone that was broken for us. He is the one who was crucified, but he rose again with victory, holding the keys within his hands, that we might not ever have to go through those things, but the choice is ours. So this morning, it's my prayer that you will see your God in every situation, that you will not be discouraged in your discouragement, because the first thing that will happen is that we will feel discouragement. The flesh will go into action. But you see, it's how much you feed the Spirit, how much you feed the Word of God in, how quickly God will come in with the antidote. And he will say, no, this is what happens. This is what I will do. This is what I have done. Stand in the confidence of that and believe and be free. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would impart your word into the hearts of each one, Lord. Only things that are said of you today will remain, nothing of myself. And that, Father God, if there's anyone here this morning who, Lord, comes to church but has not really known what it means to come into a personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus, has seen you face to face as their loving Saviour, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they would yield and say, yes, Lord Jesus, come in, restore my life and make me new. And Lord, for each other person, no matter what situation, because we all face things, we all face difficulties. The minute we step out, Lord, and speak for you, there is a battle. The minute we praise you, Lord, there is a struggle. The minute, Lord God, we claim healing, there is something that will come against us. But Lord, you've called us to push those things back and to stand in your confidence, in your strength, in your security and say, no, I know whom I've believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And that we will believe you in all things, Lord God, and that we will stand triumphant in the victory that Jesus Christ has come to give us today. Today is a new day. Today, as Lord, your word says to Esther, for you have been chosen for a day such as this. Today is a new life. Today is a day that we can stand and choose to stand in that victory, in that power, in that strength, as we push back the enemy and we claim, Lord, those that are wounded, those who are broken. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the Lord has set us to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, so that they might see your glory, Lord. So, Father, may we take that mandate, may we take that calling seriously and go out into this world and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.